Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, everybody? It's Thursday, and it's time for your favorite sports show. We'd like to welcome you all to the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin, and alongside me is my crew, PJ, Kill, B-Rad, and Jimmy, a.k.a. Spike Tarantino. We have another great show for you tonight. We'll update you on the happenings of the NBA season thus far and discuss a crazy Week 8 of the NFL season. We'll also welcome our special guest, Rob Parker of ESPN's First Take and ESPNNewYork.com. We'll wrap with Rob about some of the major news in sports this week and get his thoughts on a few big topics. Then we'll hand out our individual midseason NFL awards because basically we were trying to beat everyone else to it, but I don't think we did. And as usual, we'll use these 2 hours to get you your weekly sports fix. So sit back, relax, and get ready for a good time. If you have a question, comment, or opinion on any of our topics tonight, make sure you call in and holler at us at 323-410-0012. But right now, Jimmy, take us into these birthdays.
It's my birthday, yay!
Yo, let's just get right to it. The first birthday is Devin Hester, who turns 28. Dev, when I say Devin Hester, what comes to mind?
Man, besides touchdowns, basically he got the greatest name in the history of Western civilization. Kill.
Kill. Devin Hester, man, I think of him being, they call the human joystick, pause, like kind of like Dante Hall, but he hasn't ran a kickback in like 2 years, since he's been playing wide receiver.
Got one this year, maybe a couple weeks ago. Oh, I don't know.
He has one in like the last 2 years.
There you go.
Well, put it like this. When I think of Devin Hester, I just think of an uber athlete. Dude is like so fast. That, you know, it's like ridiculous. So, personally, when I think of him, I just think of someone who's very athletic.
Quite orangutan-ish.
Yeah, you're kind of monkey-ish. He got a little bit of primate, little primate there. At any rate, this is not really a birthday shout-out, but the NBA power forward, he passed away. It would have been his birthday, Lorenzen Wright. So, just want to say rest in peace to Lorenzen Wright, who would have been 35 years old. Yeah, R.P. Lorenzen Wright. But
yeah, that was
That was definitely a sad story. Another quick birthday I want to get into is Giants quarterback Phil Simms turns 55.
It's my birthday, yay!
Dev, what you got on Phil Simms?
Phil Simms, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm biased. I was an Eagles fan. I thought Phil Simms was a good quarterback, but I never really thought he was as great as they make him out to be. But, you know, when I think of him now, just on the broadcast, talking a lot of trash about a whole lot of other quarterbacks. That's all I think of.
Yo, you might be hating, though, just as an Eagles fan. You might be hating. Personally, I'm hating, too. Because as a Denver Broncos fan, he, like, you know, tore us to shreds. So I personally do hate him. So, you know, I'm not going to front. I hate him because of that. Kendall, what you got on
his receivers weren't great. His receivers weren't great, so maybe he was pretty good. But, yeah, whatever.
Hey, with Phil Simms, man, he was a solid, consistent quarterback. I mean, he helped them, you know, win a Super Bowl. And then when he got hurt, Hostetler helped them win a Super Bowl. And I remember him holding records for, like, the certain amount of completions in a game. And he had a son, you know, Chris Simms, who was good. Well, his son was average.
And as a Broncos fan, that's another reason why I hate him, because his offspring comes and stunk it up in Denver, too. So I hate him, and I hate the next generation. Anyway, let's go to this next birthday. Dolph Lundgren of Ivan Drago fame. Dolph, what you got on him?
Dolph, when I think of Dolph, All I think of is
I must break you.
Ivan Drago.
And I also think that it was real corny that Rocky beat that dude. That was corny.
Yo, but he was a beast, though. But hold on, though. You can't hate on Rocky, though, dog. Rocky beat anybody, man.
Drago was killing
dude. Killer, what you got on Dolph Lundgren?
Man, Ivan Drago was a beast. You know, he was a beast. The way they were, I guess, shooting him up with PEDs and the way he killed Apollo, unfortunately. And, you know, the way he was just the way he was pulverizing Rocky, and then miraculously Rocky came back and won. And then he made a bunch of other movies that nobody really cares about, unfortunately. But yeah, he's doing well financially,
yeah.
I assume.
Y'all gotta show love to Rocky, though. Yo, Rocky would beat anybody, man.
Yo, well, Mom, I got a question, though, about Drago. Yo, why the hell did we just give Ivan Drago a birthday shout-out?
That's a good question, yo. Yo, because he had the best quote ever, yo. What was the quote that he had? If he dies, he dies. Yo.
If he dies, he dies.
How you gonna say that as you punish an opponent in the ring like that? That's crazy.
If he dies, he dies. Yo, that's enough on Ivan. That's enough on him. I'm not even calling him Dolph Lundgren. Anyway. This last birthday shout-out is a special shout-out to a friend of the War Room. We want to send a birthday shout-out to Lauren Wright. For those of you who don't know, Lauren Wright is a singer-songwriter. She's a friend of ours, and she was on our show on October 14th. So, anyway, if you're in the D.C. area, she'll be performing at Bus Boys and Poets at 5th and K in Northwest Washington, D.C. next Thursday. That's November 11th at 9 p.m. So if you get a chance, get down there and don't miss the show. You'll have a ball, and Bus Boys and Poets has a great atmosphere and pretty good food as well. So definitely go check out Lauren. And happy birthday, Lauren, from the War Room.
Happy birthday, Lauren. Let me get into this.
Happy birthday, Lauren White.
Got to play when she was on the show. All right, happy birthday, L.
Anyway, that's enough of birthdays. Beth,
let me get into what was happening while you guys were on the grind. First thing, Sparky Anderson died. Sparky Anderson, the Hall of Fame manager who led Cincinnati's Big Red Machine to back-to-back World Series championships and actually won another one with Detroit, he died today. He was 76 years old. His family says he died from complications from dementia. He was the first manager to win World Series titles in both leagues and the only manager to lead two franchises in career wins. So we just want to give another rest in peace. This is a sad show. A rest in peace to Sparky Anderson.
Damn,
you got any thoughts on him?
First off, my first thought is, why are you that old and we still calling you Sparky? That's my first thought. My second thought is, Sparky Anderson was, he's an icon in baseball, so I'm not going to say anything too disrespectful other than why are we still calling this man Sparky and he's, like, in his mid-70s?
Word. Kill, anything on Sparky before we move on to the next story?
Man, nah, he was great for baseball and an all-time legend. That's all I have.
All right, well, in the news again, Steelers' James Harrison was fined again. Yo, this dude... James Harrison was fined $20,000 today for a late hit on Saints quarterback Drew Brees in the game this past Sunday. This is the third time this season he's been fined for, quote-unquote, a dangerous tackle. He's been fined $100,000 so far this season for illegal hits. This is what he had to say. He said, the amount of money is becoming an issue. The fines that they issued to me, two of them weren't even called penalties. I don't even know what to say anymore. B. Austin, what do you think about Harrison being fined again?
He better start setting aside money out of his contract.
Basically. He need a legal hits clause. Jimmy.
Yo, I think it's ridiculous. Yo, Roger Goodell should be ashamed of himself. And because my thing is, like, it wasn't even, first off, should you fine the official for not calling the penalty? Like, what's up with that? It's not even a penalty. And I saw the hit. It wasn't like he tried to hurt Drew Brees or anything. So the NFL is soft.
Yeah, two of the penalties that he got fined for this year weren't called on the field. Akil, what do you think about that?
Man, I think that's horrible that Harrison is being singled out. And these hits that the NFL.com would post in their videos and on their page, and now they're fining this guy for basically playing hard-nosed football.
Right. All right, well, keeping on track of illegal hits, Ernie Sims from the Eagles today called his $50,000 fine by the NFL outrageous, and he plans to appeal. He was fined for a hit on Tennessee wide receiver Lavelle Hawkins. I didn't even see Lavelle Hawkins playing in the game because all I saw was Kenny Britt. But according to a league statement, Sims was guilty of unnecessarily striking a defenseless receiver in the neck and head area with his forearms. So this wasn't even a helmet-to-helmet hit. So this is what Sims had to say. He's like, I really, really hate the fact that I got fined 50 grand. I don't care how much money you make. That's a ton of money, money I worked hard for my whole life. Just for anybody to take it away from me for something that I do on the field, I think it's just crazy. But this is the league that I play in, and I've got to respect that. So I'm just going to go out there and keep playing football. And since we just talked about James Harrison, I basically know how y'all feel about that. So we'll get into the last story, which was Kobe Bryant. And Dwight Howard commits to the 2012 Olympics, and LeBron James follows suit. So this week, earlier in the week, 2008 gold medalist Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard said that they plan to rejoin Team USA for the 2012 Olympics. LeBron James seemed eager to follow suit when asked about his long-term plans today. LeBron said, I would love to be a part of that team. If Coach K needs me to be a part of that team, I'm available. Hopefully I'm healthy enough to be a part of that team. Coach K has my number. Yo, did he be awesome? Did he just big boy Coach K? Coach K got my number. Just hit me.
Yo, what's wrong with Ramon, and why is he such a follower?
Ramon.
Follower.
I mean, Jimmy.
Yo, I mean, Kobe can do what he want to do. That's the bottom line. Kobe's the best player in the world, and anybody who disagrees is a loser. But the fact, the fact of the matter is, I guess your man LeBron was waiting to see who else committed before he did. But I think it's a good look overall. I mean, they should send everybody over there. You know, Durant, LeBron, Kobe, the best players. I mean,
how you feel about LeBron,
he's one of the best players.
Before I go to Kill, let me pose a question off of what you just said. You said he wanted to wait to see who else committed. Is this another case of LeBron being LeBron? He's not trying to do it by himself, so he definitely had to wait to see who else was going. Kill, what you think about
Howard? Hey, I think if LeBron was waiting to see who else was on the team, I'm sure Kevin Durant had no problem with taking those reins and being the leader. And I think, yeah, I mean, LeBron should have committed beforehand, especially before Kobe. With him being younger and him possibly obviously being on more future FIBA USA basketball teams, yeah, I think he should have made a statement earlier.
Cool. All right. So that, everybody,
hey, Dad,
is
– yeah, real quick, in the words of LeBron, what you want him to do? You want him to say that he's going to join after everybody else?
All right, everybody, that's what happened while y'all were on the grind.
You want him to pass the ball to Kobe?
It's that time, Jimmy. It's that time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's that time to pass the rock. For those who don't know what pass the rock is, Pass the Rock is our weekly segment where each of our hosts gets a chance to, like, you know, talk about whatever it is that's on their mind or rant. It doesn't even have to be about sports. It's just pretty much our time to talk about whatever it is that we want to talk about. So with
inbound
that being
that
said,
thing
Dad, yeah, start
inbound
us off,
that
Dad.
Thing to me. All right, I'm going to bring it up after Jimmy gives me that inbound pass. I want to talk about the Mike Shanahan situation. It's more about Mike Shanahan than Donovan McNabb. So I got a question for Mike Shanahan. Where are your balls, Mike Shanahan? Aren't you the same guy who constantly shuffled in no-name running backs in Denver and started quarterbacks that nobody but yourself thought could get it done just because you were arrogant enough to believe that you were just that good of a coach? Aren't you the same tough guy who has gone out of his way to embarrass Albert Haynesworth this season to show him, your team, your new city, the league, and the world that you run things and it's your way or the highway? Aren't you the same egomaniac that had the nuts to pull your starting quarterback in the final 2 minutes of a winnable game this past Sunday because you felt that your backup gave you a better shot at winning in that situation? If this is the case, then what's up with all the backpedaling, excuse-making, and straight-up lying from the Shanahan camp, Mike and Kyle, that has compounded every day this week since the decision was made? Everyone probably knows by now that I don't think very highly of Donovan McNabb in pressure situations, as painfully evidenced by every Eagles fan, whether they choose to admit it or not, in the past 11 years of clutch futility. However, for the record, I disagree with the move when Mike Shanahan made it on Sunday. I wasn't sure of the message he was trying to send. I'm sure Mike watches a ton of game film and of which prominently displays number five's propensity to nut up in the biggest pipe-busting situations. But if you don't trust him, then why give the Eagles two high draft picks for the guy in the first place? Why build him up all season as such a great quarterback with such great command if you obviously didn't believe that to be true? If you were just going to pull him from the lineup the very minute the Redskins found themselves in one of those situations that only, quote-unquote, unappreciative, crazy Eagles fan knows he won't excel in. Better yet, why make the decision, go on TV in your press conference and give an adamant reason for doing it, and then in subsequent days make every excuse in the book of why you didn't think he was fit to run the two-minute drill? In your desperate attempt to lessen the embarrassment of your overly sensitive and overrated quarterback, you actually made things worse by inadvertently describing him as dumb, lazy, out of shape, a liar, and soft, instead of just sticking to your original guns and just restating that you just didn't feel comfortable with him in that situation. So in essence, instead of being the grown man in charge that your past actions portray you to be, you subscribe to the Andy Reid handbook of Donovan coddling and ultimately embarrassed yourself, Donovan, the Redskins, and even your son for having him participate in this foolery all week. Coach Shanahan, you punked out, and I'm done. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock down the court, waiting at the three-point line, to my man, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
Yeah, Shanahan basically played himself. You know me, I'm ready. I'm always ready to hate on Donut McGlaze, as we call him. this week, I'd like to talk about what occurred on October 18th, Monday Night Football game. It was a pretty vanilla game between the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. In the waning minutes of that contest, as Cliff Lee was busy auditioning for whoever's going to sign him to a gazillion dollars next season, and nobody was paying attention, there were several odd peculiarities that occurred. Number one, late in the game that the Tennessee Titans had well in hand, we noticed that the Jaguars started to call timeouts, called a couple of them. Jeff Fisher, in turn, kept his starters in the game and continued to step on the throat and turn the heat up, it seemed. So after the game, there were a couple media outlets that came forward and mentioned that Coach Fisher was approached by the networks and told to take some timeouts so that we could get some more commercial spots in. Now, initially, it's kind of went through my mind, and I said, oh, that's kind of funny. But then as I started to think, I'm like, wait a second here. Are you telling me that our professional sports contest, be it football, baseball, or basketball, are controlled by the TV networks? If they feel comfortable enough to approach two head football coaches about taking timeouts for the sake of commercial advertisements, what else are they sticking their grimy and slimy hands into in our beloved sports? Just a thought. Just a thought. And with that, I'm going to look cross-court. Throw a skip pass to my man, P-Jeezy.
Man, it's kind of crazy, man. I can dig it. You never know what the corporate influence has on any of the sports. Some of us wonder if games are thrown, and if they investigated, it may turn out that there was some corporate dabbling. But this week, guys, I in light of the recent events pertaining to one Randy Gene Moss, I'm starting to wonder if Randy has really lost his mind. Let's quickly go back to Sunday's postgame press conference in New England, when Moss showed up unannounced at the podium, rocking a Red Sox hat, went on for a five-minute rambling session where I'll just paraphrase a couple of the highlights. He called Bill Belichick the greatest coach in the history of the NFL, fined $25,000 last week for not cooperating with the media, Mark said that he will not answer any more questions for the rest of the year. He said that he will ask and answer his own questions exclusively. Sunday's question was, "So what's on your mind, Randy?" Mark constantly repeated how much he missed the Patriots, saying, "I just want to be able to tell the guys in New England I missed the hell out of them." He then concluded the press conference by saying, "I don't know how many more times I'm going to be up there in New England, but I want to lead the New England Patriots, Belichick, man, with a salute, man. I love those guys. I miss you. I'm out." I mean, the press conference basically sounded like Moss is applying for a job in New England for next year. And let's not forget about Moss's disparaging and embarrassing tirade about a buffet spread inside the Minnesota Vikings locker room last Friday, when after looking at the spread, Moss yelled out, "What the hell? Who ordered this crap? I wouldn't feed that to my dog." Moss went on to say, "You know, I used to eat crap like this, but now I got money. I don't eat crap like that no more." What's sad is that this wasn't even a chain restaurant. It was a small mom-and-pop shop, and apparently this was their best stuff. I mean, it's not fine dining, but hell, it's a decent lunch, you miserable ingrate. Moss's idiotic behavior was nothing short of egregious. We often talk about athletes who are love them or hate them players, you know, the undeniably talented guys whose image varies greatly depending on which side of the fence you're on. At this point in Moss's career, we really need to take a step back and just consider how dense the population is on the side of the fence that has a positive view of Randy Moss, which probably consists of his mother, his sister, any other cousins that he's taking care of financially, compared to those people who basically think he's worthless project hallway urine who got what was utterly coming to him. It just seems very unlikely that there was a large contingency of people out there who view Moss as this warm-hearted, cuddly individual who got unfairly screwed by an institution that's rotten to its core. I mean, Moss has nobody to blame but himself for this current predicament. He might be misunderstood, but his frequent acts of boorish, deplorable buffoonery don't convince me that he is. So is he crazy? Hell yeah. And then with that, I'm going to throw a no-look bounce pass to my man Kill, cutting down the court.
All right, man. I just wish Randy Moss ran better routes. As great as he is, I just wish he ran better routes and basically didn't talk to the media because he's killing himself. I mean, okay, he's with the Titans, but let's see where he ends up next year. All right, now, my pass the rock has to do with Marion Jones, okay? So good evening, War Room Sports family. My topic today has to do with the disgraced former track star and Olympic gold medalist, Marion Jones. As we all may remember, Marion Jones won 5 medals in the 2000 Sydney, Australia Olympics and became known as the fastest woman on the planet. After her ex-husband, track star CJ Hunter, and her ex-boyfriend and father of her son, track star Tim Montgomery, were tied to performance-enhancing drug use while they were with Jones, and her ties to Victor Conti and Balco, all signs pointed to her being guilty of steroid use. Recently, Marion Jones has been in the news for serving 6 months in prison from March 2008 to September 2008 for lying to a federal grand jury about her steroid use and for pleading guilty to a check fraud scandal with the aforementioned Tim Montgomery. And when they asked her, this is what she said earlier.
I don't know what that is, so I'm going to say yes.
So she basically got locked up for lying. Now, in 2007, she married sprinter and Olympic medalist Obadale Thompson, who is from Barbados, and they have 2 children together.
Yep.
Now, what many people may not know is that Marion Jones once scored 48 points in a high school basketball game while growing up in Southern California and led the University of North Carolina to the 1994 NCAA championship as a starting freshman point guard. She had to make the decision between track and basketball and eventually decided to pursue track full-time and graduated from UNC in 1997. While a professional track star, she was so good at basketball, she was drafted by the Phoenix Mercury of the WNBA in 2003. After being banned from Olympic competition and having the majority of her medals taken away, she decided to try her hand at basketball again at the ripe age of 34 this past year. She played for the Tulsa Shock this season and averaged 3 points and 2 rebounds in 9 minutes a game while shooting 52% from the field. In the last 3 games, however, she averaged 11 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, while playing 22 minutes a game and shooting 57% from the field. With the increased playing time, is it possible we could see Marion Jones playing in a WNBA All-Star game one day? During the WNBA offseason, Marion Jones has been on a book tour for her new book, On the Right Track, and has been conducting interviews. Famous director John Singleton recently did a documentary on Jones titled Press Pause, detailing the journey of Marion Jones' rise to stardom and recent legal troubles. In regards to Marion Jones being a black female who has served time for involvement with steroids and lying about it while no one else has served time, Singleton stated, "Come on now, it's just common sense. Nothing's going to happen to any of those guys. Those players will not see the inside of a jail cell. They don't want to open up a can of worms, be it the IOC, NFL, MLB, be it what's legal or not legal. Going back over the last 30 years, they're only going to go so far with those people, and then they'll let it taper off. Now, mind you, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are still up for trial." One excerpt from the book details how Marion Jones spent 23 hours a day in solitary confinement with no TV or computer for 48 days for defending herself against her cellmate who allegedly attacked her. While the general public may have written off Marion Jones and labeled her as a failure, a cheat, a miscreant, or disgrace to her country, I look forward to her redeeming herself on the basketball court these next few years and becoming an ambassador of what not to do while speaking around the country. And with that, I will throw the alley-oop to Mr. James Williams.
Kill. It's interesting you bring that up. I saw that 30 for 30, and I also think it's a disgrace that nobody else has done time. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, with all the allegations, and actually, some people who've admitted to it, you know, so, I mean, that's a disgrace. Anyway, let me talk to the War Room real fast. War Room, I got The Rock now, and I want to talk about KG and Charlie. All right? On Tuesday evening, the Boston Celtics played the Detroit Pistons, and of course the Celtics won because the Pistons stink like trash truck juice. But the biggest story out of that game had nothing to do with the game itself. On Twitter, Charlie Villanueva had comments about the game. One of his tweets says, and I quote, "KG called me a cancer patient. I'm pissed because you know how many people die from cancer. He's tossing it like it's a joke." End quote. Now, for those who don't know, Charlie, as I call him, Charlie suckles with a form of alopecia that results in hair loss. Now, Garnett called the incident, and I quote, "a major miscommunication. My comment to Charlie Villanueva was, in fact, you are cancerous to your team in our league. I would never be insensitive to the brave struggle that cancer patients endure. I have lost loved ones to this deadly disease and have a family member currently undergoing treatment. I would never say anything like that, distasteful. The game of life is far bigger than the game of basketball," end quote. First off, KG, FOH. Now, I'm not excusing what KG allegedly said, but in my opinion, what said on the court should stay there. If Twitter were around when I came up playing ball, I probably wouldn't have been accepted to college or law school based on some of the horrible things I've said on the court. I've said some of the most insensitive things imaginable in order to get my opponent off their game. This whole situation between KG and Villanueva made me wonder, if Twitter were around in years past, what would some of our favorite athletes have tweeted about? What would Babe Ruth tweet? Would Babe Ruth say, "I just finished 12 hot dogs, and I'm taking a leak before the game. Is it supposed to burn when I pee?" Or how about Magic Johnson? Would Magic Johnson tweet, "I can't seem to shake this cough. I got to go see the doctor tomorrow." Or how about this one here? How about Charles Barkley? Charles Barkley once said in an interview that he hates white people. Would he tweet, "I hate white people," right before he went home to his white wife? Or how about this one here? What about O.J. Simpson? What would O.J. tweet? Would O.J. say, "The verdict came in, and I'm just as surprised as you are"? Another one I thought about, what would Mike Tyson tweet? What do you guys think Mike Tyson would tweet?
"Think you can win this fight?"
Are you talking out of turn?
No, I think we're all talking together.
"I normally don't do interview with women unless I fornicate with them. So you shouldn't."
Then again, Mike Tyson didn't need Twitter to be ignorant, did he? The bottom line is, no matter what KG said, it should have never made it to Twitter. Charlie acted like a Ramon. And for those of you who don't know what a Ramon is, you can check the Worm's upcoming glossary. Anyway, hey, Charlie, if he did say those horrible things, why not handle it right after the game? Or just get your Rick Mahorn on and handle it during the game. Are you a coward, Charlie? Can I say that, or will I be disrespecting everyone who's struggling with cowardice out there? What was your point of putting it on Twitter anyway, Charlie? Hey, Charlie, why even put it on Twitter? If you need attention that bad, how about living up to your potential as a first-round draft pick and shake the perception around the league of you being lazy? Considering your problems with domestic violence, maybe KG should have just called you a woman beater. I bet you wouldn't have put that on Twitter. I'm nice, and I'm done.
And with that, the crowd goes wild. All right, B-Rad, you want to tell everybody how to get in touch with us?
Mr. McMillan, go ahead and knock that out, sir.
All right, I got it. Everybody, you can check us out on our website at www.warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company or our show. If you'd like to send an email to one of us personally, our individual email addresses are on that page. You can become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our new YouTube channel at youtube.com/warroomsports. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To get into the chat room, you need to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click on favorites and follow us to make War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates about the show every week. Speaking of blogs, check out ours on the blog tab of our website. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from the Facebook, Twitter, and the crazy chat room during the show every week. So to call in and speak with us, dial 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted, and if you're already on the line and you want to talk to us, just press 1 and we'll try to get to you. Pressing 1 is basically like raising your hand, and who knows, we might just pick up that call, so be ready. What are we going to do now? Well, anything going on in the chat room right now, fellas?
No, basically, they're talking about the WNBA. The WNBA was called by Mope 215. The WNBA stands for Whack Nonsensical Basketball Association. And also Mope 215 said, maybe she should have caught her book. Damn, I got caught.
Word. Yeah, because she did a whole lot of lying before she got in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But real quick, we're not going to spend much time on the World Series because we're all Philly fans and we're still a little salty. Sue us. But we do want to congratulate the World Series champion, San Francisco Giants. Anybody got any thoughts on the series? I'm sure everybody was mad and didn't catch every minute of it like you would otherwise. But, Jimmy, any thoughts on the series?
First off, I could care less about the series. I was watching reruns of Sanford and Son.
You actually blogged about that. So if y'all want to check out Jimmy's blog on the World Series, just go to our blog site. And check that out.
Yeah, I had a whole thing about the World Series and how baseball pretty much at this point is in trouble because nobody's even watching the World Series. They're losing to, like, regular football games. And, you know,
right. There's
nothing entertaining about the World Series anyway. San Francisco and Texas, the only thing I found entertaining, like I say in my blog, is just how ugly a team the Giants were. I mean, they were fun to look at and laugh at. Other than that, the World Series, I'll pass it to anybody else because I don't even want to talk about it.
Shout out to the world champion San Francisco Giants. I think I caught a game or two. Tim Lincecum is a hell of a pitcher. It was exciting to see him go to work. But I think, as we've addressed in our past episodes, Major League Baseball does a terrible job of maximizing its coverage of stories and marketing the stories that they have internally. They have a ton of them, but they don't market them, and something has to be done in terms of salary cap and creating some sort of parity within their league, man. It's terrible, man. Ratings.
Well, speaking of what Jimmy was talking about, how they're losing in the ratings, game 4, which went up against Sunday Night Football. Usually the NFL cancels their games that fall on the same night as World Series games. I guess the NFL didn't care this year. But Game 4 of the World Series lost to Sunday Night Football. I believe that was that game we mentioned earlier, the Steelers and who did they play?
The Steelers played New Orleans.
Yeah, the Steelers and the
New
Saints.
Orleans, right?
That game got an 11.8 overnight rating with an 18 share, and the game four of the World Series got a 10.4 rating with a 16 share. So, like, any championship in any given sport, well, at least of the four major sports, should not be losing in the ratings to any regular season games, no matter how popular, you know, the other sport is. That's unheard of, and it's been going on. Go ahead, Pete.
You know what they need to do? They need to introduce the syringe, or let me say reintroduce syringe and then good Barry Bonds juice and get the baseball numbers back up because they're going to need somebody to get, like, 100 homers in the season.
The cream and the clear.
Exactly. Get
the cream and the clear. Hey, Dad, we got some
purist.
Homers on the line, Dad.
Hey,
Clement. Right, let me take this call. I'm going to take these calls real quick.
Yeah, let's take this one here. I got this first one.
Okay.
267-304, you're in the war room. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's going on, gentlemen? You know
who
this
what
is.
That's why I took the call.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on?
What's
Mike,
up, Jay?
One thing on that comment about baseball, there is parity in baseball. The last, 10 years, we haven't had any back-to-back World Series champions?
Yeah, but at the same time,
that's perception. Everybody here, Yankees are paying for these people, but the Yankees aren't winning the World Series.
I know, but parity isn't just who wins the championship, though. A lot of the same teams
are in the playoffs. But we've also had a lot of teams that haven't looked like just this past year. The Texas Rangers hasn't won a playoff series or been to the playoffs in how long? Ever?
There's always an exception to the rule, but. How many times in the past decade that you're talking about have the Yankees and the Red Sox taken up a place in the playoffs, you know, when teams that don't make that much money can't get in because, you know,
and
the same two
that.
Teams are
you're
taking
gonna,
up their
you're going to have their constant. I agree with you. What I'm saying is that
it's not as bad.
They do need the salary cap. I agree. But we do – baseball is the one sport that small market teams do – you know, succeeding. You got your Tampa Bays, you got your Florida Marlins, you got your San Fran, you got your Texas
You
Rangers.
Also have your Kansas City Royals, you have your Pittsburgh Pirates. They might as well not even play next year. They can the Pittsburgh Pirates right now might as well not even play next year. They haven't had a winning season in 18 years.
But that's the
Pittsburgh
problem.
Pirates is a minor league team. You ain't know that?
That's the problem in every sport because
it's the high school.
The network. The leagues are being greedy, and the networks are begging them to, you know, just put more teams in. We'll put them on TV. I agree. I'm just saying, baseball is one of the sports that small market teams have the ability to succeed. You don't know who's on. Now I'm to the point, if I see the Yankees and I see the Florida Marlins in the World Series or, you know what I mean, or the Phillies and the San Francisco Giants, I'm not guaranteeing that big market team or the team with the highest payroll is going to win. You know what I mean?
No, who
thought that Tampa Bay would be in the World Series in 2008?
You're right. You're right.
They
you're
have nobody
right.
showing up to the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they can never keep their best players.
No Florida
Look
team
at the
has
A's.
People that shows up to the games. The Marlins stadium's empty. The Rays stadium is empty. It's crazy.
Right.
But, Mike, thanks for your call, brother. We got to move on. Hit us back when we get on
all
to
right, Mike.
Topic. All right,
all
Mike.
All
right,
Mike Scott. Take it easy, Mike.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely made a good point, but
yeah,
like I said,
you got the same call real quick. They've been waiting for a while.
Go ahead. You got it.
All right, I'll take this call. 267-516, you're in the war room. What's your name? Where you calling from? 267. Oh, they hung up. You got to say get on air.
Dang, got a little nervous. Well, if you're calling in and you just want to listen, don't press 1. All right, well, we could take that opportunity to go ahead and move on. Jimmy, you want to take us into this NBA talk real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about a real sport. Leave baseball alone. Anyway, let's talk about a real sport. Let's talk about some hoops. Before we start getting into sports, again, I want to send another RIP shout-out. This is our sad show, like we said, to Maurice Lucas, the enforcer. He died on Monday. So we just want to say rest in peace. to Maurice Lucas. But now, the first week of the season is done, and I want to get you guys' opinions on what teams and players are balling so far. I'm going to start it off with you, Dev. What's your opinion the first week of the season?
Well, of course, you know, everybody was down on the Miami Heat for losing that opening game to Boston. But ever since then, and, you know, I'm not going to go out on a limb like, you know, they're just so tough. Their schedule did get a little bit easier, and they got about three nice blowouts. The Sixers game actually didn't end up being a blowout because the Sixers, you know, fought back in garbage time to make the score look respectable. But Miami's definitely balling. I still don't see the chemistry that you look for from a championship team with all those superstars, but they're doing pretty well. Of course, Jimmy, your Lakers are 5-0, and Powell, Kobe, and even your boy Chloe Odom is they're looking pretty good over there. It's a smooth shit.
Give me an idea. Give me a couple players. A couple players that have stood out to you in the first week.
Well, you got your players of the week, and Pau Gasol and Rajon Rondo. Pau was the player of the week in the West, averaging 25-10-5. Rondo averaging 10-6.5 rebounds and a crazy 16.5 assists. So they're balling. Kobe's doing pretty well. Everybody expected him. Even Derek Fisher said it would take him a couple of months to get back in shape with the knee. Derek Fisher probably was lying for him just to catch teams off guard. Who else?
Okay.
Dwayne Wade, after a bad first game, he got his stuff together a little bit. But on that Heat team, you know, it's going to be any given guy on any given night. But
let anybody else
get off on that.
Kill, what's your thoughts on the first week, Kill?
Well, the first week, it seems like the top three teams, the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Heat, it seems like they have nobody to play. Outside of a few close games between those teams, they've just been blowing people out, and it's been unwatchable. It kind of takes me back to the segment where we talked about contraction, and like I said, I wasn't for contraction due to the jobs, but I could see how, you know, somebody can make a strong case, because I would want to see, like, let's say the Lakers play, and I just have to turn it, or I have to see the Heat or Boston play, and they're just blowing people out, and it's just bad.
Did you see the Magic, the score of the Magic Timberwolves game last night?
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I think it was like 30, right? By 30, right?
Yeah, it was funny because, I'm flipping through the NBA ticket, and I get to that game, and it's like the start of the fourth quarter, and there's nobody in the crowd. It was like four people there. And then they put the score up, and I'm like, damn, you shouldn't be able to beat another NBA team like that. That's disgusting.
I think it was more than 30.
Yeah.
Hey, Kill, in terms of players, what players have impressed you thus far?
The players that have impressed me, Derrick Rose, being a Bulls fan, at one point during the week he was averaging, you know, 34 points a game and like 8 assists in the absence of Carlos Boozer, and then Luol Deng put up 40. That probably sounds biased, but those two players have never played like that in their careers. They've impressed me. Yeah, they are. But now Rondo has impressed me with his floor game, but you all know my thing with Rondo and his jump shot. And even though the game went into overtime, he decided to take the last shot. And then he missed. It was like wide right. And I was like, oh, man, come on, Rondo, you got to work on that. So
wasn't even close. He was open, too. Let me get the
hot block commander. Be Austin.
Hold
on,
real quick.
Opinion?
I just want to tell. What? Real quick, I want to tell Kill that Orlando game, that was 42 points that they beat them by.
Whew. Oh, my God.
Yo, that's
contract
the
Minnesota,
yo,
Timberwolves.
Yo, they should be kicked out of the league for that. Anyway, Brad, what's your opinion on the
next
first
game?
I'm gonna start off with that game, the Minnesota Timberwolves Magic game. Contraction shouldn't be a thought. It's a must at this point. And one of the reasons is any team in the league can field five serviceable to good starters, but once you go beyond the starting five, that's where the shenanigans and monkey fest begin. Because the Minnesota Timberwolves bench, their bench consists of players that are not better than us if we are given 6 months to get in shape. And so, therefore, it's kind of like, who are you really playing against? You know, so it's expected that three-headed monster Dwight Howard. Why Dwight Howard's shoulders that big? What's wrong with yo? He's found the weight room and just never leaves. But anyway, it's like almost it's not to the level of baseball by any means, but parity is missing from basketball, and I think contraction is the solution. I really do. Moving on.
If you go on like what Mike was talking about when he called in, shoot, the basketball as far as championships are concerned, it's been the same teams winning for the last 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, but, you're right.
I mean, but like I was saying to him, you know, parity isn't just who wins the championship.
Right. That was going to be my point. Parity is not who just wins the championship.
The
and if you look at the top seeds, you know that 2 through 8. Does change. It's kind of fluid, you know. Kind of moving on. Teams, you know, I'm with everybody else. I think the Celtics, again, as I said last week, if they stay healthy, you're going to see them there at the end in the East. The Sixers, I don't know what we're doing, as usual. I'm impressed with the Pacers. Danny Granger is balling. Roy Hibbert is balling, and I thought he would be out the league by now. he's way better. He's a savvy, heady, scrappy player.
Oh, here you go. You sound like he's white.
Exactly. Because he ain't got no athleticism.
That's not even an inside joke, people. Don't think we're saying anything ignorant. If you read our blog, you know exactly what we were talking about just now.
Hold on, let me get PJ's thoughts real quick, because of time. PJ, what's your thoughts on the first week, and give me some players who stood out to you this first week?
Yeah, quickly, man, I kind of agree basically with what Kill was saying. Like, a lot of the that are not the elite that play is almost unwatchable. So that's just something that I, like, we already knew that, and again, like, to just reiterate what we were talking about in terms of contraction, it's just like, It's rough because it's just like you have your elite and then you have the also-rans, and then that's it. And it's hard to watch as a fan, as a spectator, to watch the teams that are not the elite. But one thing that caught me by surprise in terms of players was to see Dwight Three-Heads Howard, who Brad was referring to, look like he had a little bit of footwork in the first couple of games this year. Like his post moves have improved. When I say footwork,
you know why?
I mean in the post.
You know why, PJ?
Yeah, because of the dream, because of Olajuwon. And apparently he's working out with Hakeem Olajuwon in the offseason or however, even if it's still going on now, I'm not exactly sure. But it looks like there's some improvement there. Now, granted, we're only like, what, only 5% of the season is complete, so it's still early.
Not even that. Hold on, though. Does that mean that Patrick Ewing shouldn't have his job? Because your man Patrick Chewing, excuse me, has been, supposed to have been his mentor the last couple of seasons.
Patrick is over there because they wanted to get an older ape on the bench, and he's an older, he's a silverback, but he's one of the ape on the bench, and he's really not. They should actually pay the Dream double what they pay Ewing, because he obviously, his tutelage over the offseason of like 3 months has done more for Howard's post game than Chewing has, Paul. Chewing has done as long as he's been there, four years or so.
Yeah, but if you remember back in the day, Hakeem used to abuse Patrick Ewing anyway. He just felt bad for him. It was like domestic violence. Give me a couple players.
Rondo is really impressing me. I mean, John Wall. I know he balled out when they beat the Sixers. Pause. But, you know, he had, I think, 9 steals and 8 turnovers, so he netted 1 steal. So he's good. He's fast. He's explosive. Still yet to be seen.
Kobe's triple-double
last night was impressive. I'm just always impressed with Kobe, pause, just because how he's aging and still has the sharp, like, dominant game that he has and how he can dominate you even
We have a call room. Before I jump to this call, let me get my quick opinion of the first week of the season. This first week of the season, I mean, I pretty much agree with you all you guys said in terms of some of these horrible teams. But me, personally, I get a kick out of watching just how bad these teams are just because I'm trying to figure out how Allen Iverson doesn't have a job. So I get to watch how bad these teams are and complain about it. But with that being said, the players who have impressed me the most, I'm like on my foreign junk because Pau Gasol, and, you know, I know this is kind of a homer. I love the Lakers, but Pau Gasol has really impressed me. He looks like the best player on the floor, even though he's playing with Kobe. This guy is, like, added to his game. And also, you know, I run the Luis Scola fan club. This dude be balling. His team hasn't gotten any wins, but this dude puts up numbers with no athleticism at all. So I have to keep shouting his name out because he goes under the radar. Luis Scola is a beast. You know, and he puts up crazy numbers. In terms of teams that are, like, balling, it's the same old, the Celtics, the Lakers. I mean, Miami now with, you know, those guys, the two and a half stars they have. But like I said, it's going to be a long season, and I look forward to the rest of the season. But I do enjoy watching the bad teams just to see how bad they can be. But we do have a caller online. Let me take this call.
Wait a minute. One second, Jim. Speaking of, you know, because you asked, you said all of these teams and the players that you see and you wonder why AI can't get a run. I just want to tell the audience that we have started a movement. It's called AI Can't Get a Run, and we started that from Brad's rant last week on PTR, where he named a bunch of people and asked, in comparison, why Allen Iverson can't get a job in the NBA. So if you're on Facebook, look out for the video because we post it often. It's on our blog site. Just go to our website and click on the blog and find it on there, and it's also on our YouTube page. If you tweet, use the hashtag #AIcan'tgetarun, all together, one word, and we're going to try to make this a trending topic. We're going to try to get AI back in the league. All right, Jimmy, go ahead.
We want AI back in the league. If Keon Dooling and Earl Quickens at 2'1" can play, we think AI deserves a run. With that being said, let me take this call. Let me take this call real quick. 570-762, you in the war room. What's your name and where you calling from?
What up, guys? It's Jay, yo.
What up, Jay?
Hey, what's good?
What's up, Jay?
What's good? Let's get it. Let's start by saying the AI situation. Yo, Brad, I'm looking on eBay at eBay Turkey for a jersey for you. I got you, Pimpin. I'm going to get
a no doubt. I need that. I need that. But let me ask you though, Jay. Let me ask you. Anthony Carter can get a run and AI can't get a run?
I'm trying to tell you, dog. I was watching ball last night, and I'm seeing some of these cats, and I'm wondering, yo, is they serious? Like, why Jersey ain't pick up AI? Why the Clippers ain't pick up AI? Why these cats that are consistently bums in the league don't take a chance to either fill their seats with a name or, yo, he's proven to be gritty. Hard knock. He could take his. This dude done played hurt for like 5 years. I don't even know why these cats don't take the chance with the dude. You know what I mean? You understand he got his baby mama drama. You understand, you know, he missing practice. We talking about this. You know what I mean? Like, the dude done cemented that he was playing like a 6'6" baller at a 6-foot statue. And he not even that. He like 5'11". They gave him the 6-foot.
Jay, we gonna get answers, man. We trying to find out why AI can't get a run, and we gonna find out, man. You gotta help us find out why AI can't get a run, yo. Earl Boykin's 2'1", man.
Hey Jimmy, take this other one because we got our guest coming on in a few minutes.
Yeah. Matter of fact, yeah. Jay, we gotta go because we got a couple calls to take. But Jay, thanks for the call and call back in a little bit.
No doubt, yo. Y'all be easy, yo.
All right,
take it easy, Jay.
Let me take this next call real quick. Then. Let me take the next call.
All right.
Let me see. Here we go. 202-492, you in a war room. What's your name? Where you calling from? They bounce.
Okay. All right.
They bounce, too.
We got to get up there, yo. Can't be pressing one if you don't want to talk. But, yeah.
Let me run through a couple quick things and just get your thoughts so we can move on. In terms of the NBA, I had a lot of things that are bothering me right now. We already talked about Kobe in the Olympics, so we're not going to go through that. But some of the contracts out there, Horford, 5 years, $60 million. What you guys think about that? Just real quick, give me one word, Dev. Should he have got it or not?
Yeah, I think he's worth it. I mean, Samuel Dallenberg got 70 a few years back. Horford can get that.
That's a disgrace, too. B. Austin, real quick, should he have got it?
If Joe shouldn't have got, if Joe got 119, my man Tito can get a
60.
Got you. Dr. Bayon, what's your thoughts on Horford getting that dough?
Yeah, I think for the market, that salary was commensurate, especially if guys like Tyson Chandler and Dallenberg are getting more.
PJ, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to what, like, Joakim Noah got early in October. And, you know, the guys from that draft class, this is when they have to sign. I think the deadline for signing early was, like, the first of this month. So, I mean, there's no bigs in the league, so it was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Hold up. I just feel like I hope some of these other hosts on these other shows aren't mad when we sign our contracts.
Hey, Jimmy. One thought I have that relates to that. Now, Mike Conley Jr. getting $45 million?
Disrespectful. Devin McMillan is better than him.
I don't see why Mike Conley Jr. is a starter in the NBA in the first place. And, you know, they didn't want to start Allen Iverson over him last year because they didn't want to stunt his growth. Man, that dude's
right.
Not good.
What's wrong?
I would meet him at any playground in 3 hours and give him a run right now, tonight.
Yeah.
Yo, all right, well, moving on, I got something that really pissed me off, and I want to hear what you guys got to think about it. Did you guys see the video of Shaq cross-dressing?
Ew!
That's your man.
Yo,
that's your old Laker teammate, yo.
I hate Shaq. Yo, my thing is, like, yo, why are you doing that? First off, how about getting back on the court, you big dummy? Dev, what's your thoughts on that, man, real quick?
My thoughts?
Did you just ask
you
me
are gay. You are gay.
Be honest, what's your thoughts on that?
Do you really want to keep us on the air? You going to ask me that? About that?
As a matter of fact, don't answer that. PJ, real quick.
Make him pass off.
Gay, nasty, and I lost my appetite. That's it.
Kill Bayon, did you see the video?
All I can say is that's not a good look. Just not a good look.
Yo, last thing I want to talk about, LeBron said he had, you know, some regrets about the decision, so to speak. LeBron Ramon James, what do you think about what he said about he would do it different if he had to do it over again? Dev, what's your thoughts?
I don't want to get too deep on it because we were going to ask our guest about the same thing when he came on. But, I mean, it's typical of athletes doing something and then seeing the kind of backlash that they get from it. You know, and then after the fact, they might want to change up what they did.
So you're saying that he committed a Shanahan?
I think LeBron cares too much about being loved for him not to have regrets about that whole thing. I mean, he said he doesn't regret the decision that he made. He just regrets the way that he went about it. So I can see him being that way just because of what we know of LeBron. I can see him having regrets.
LeBron's at L7. B. Austin, what's your thoughts?
L7 ass nigga. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Coward. Cowardice. Cowardice.
Yo, okay. PJ, what's your thoughts on LeBron Ramon James?
It was calculated, so he should have thought about it before he did it. I'm not mad at him going to Miami. That's him, whatever. But he didn't have to bore us for an hour to do it, so.
Okay.
That's
okay. So you think that?
Yo, shout out to Nike. That commercial was hot.
You like the commercial? Did the commercial make you go out and buy a pair?
Heck no, but I like the commercial though. It was a good commercial.
Okay.
But I mean,
Kill
Bayon. He is like he's great athlete. He's overrated, but you know.
Well, speaking of the commercial, speaking of the commercial, he says, you know, I'm supposed to stop listening to my friends. Come on, they're my friends. But then, you know, people were saying that his friends or his friend Maverick Carter was the one that basically told him to do the decision thing, and now he's regretting it. So now he's kind of regretting listening to his friend. So, come on, LeBron, stop flip-flopping.
Maverick Carter is doing for LeBron's career what Maverick Carter would do if he were LeBron.
Hey, yo, real quick, let's move on. That's enough about the basketball. Dev, you can take it over now. We got to bring our guest on.
Okay, well, I'm going to let PJ real quick
tell everybody how they can get in touch with us before we bring on our special guest, PJ.
Quickly, everybody, you can definitely check us out on our website at warroomsports.com. You know, click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our show or about our company. If you'd like to send us an email to any of the hosts, all of our email addresses are posted on that page. We encourage you to become a fan of ours on Facebook, facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/warroomsports. And for general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports. We also encourage you to check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/warroomsports. You can join the chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To get into that chat room, you will need to sign up for a free account with Blog Talk. If you don't want to, you can also sign in through Facebook or Twitter. And while you're at it, make us one of your favorites so you can stay up to date on all of our updates and you know, what's going on with the show. Speaking of blogs, don't forget to go to our website and click on our blog tab to stay in tune with all the posts that we have going on there on a daily basis. And we'll be taking questions from Facebook, Twitter, in the chat room every week during the show. To call in the show and speak to the host or our guest, dial 323-410-0012, press 1. Pressing 1 is essentially like raising your hand, and who knows, we may just call on you. Back to you, Dev.
All right, so now we're going to bring on our special guest. You guys probably have seen him on weekday mornings arguing with Skip Bayless, debating on ESPN's First Take. He's also an esteemed writer for ESPNNewYork.com and ClickOnDetroit.com. So without further ado, Rob Parker, everybody.
Wow.
Rob,
that's bigger cheers. That's good. Bigger cheers than I get from Skip when I walk into the studio.
Rob, what's up with you?
What's happening, guys?
Coming
doing
on.
All right?
Yeah,
no
we're
problem.
Doing all right. I missed you this morning. I'm on the show looking for you this morning, and I see you weren't there to give Skip your 2 cents. But
I was on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, so that was it.
Skip got tired of getting beat.
There you go. You can't have me around too much now.
Yeah, he was getting it this morning from Jalen. But look, we're gonna jump right into it because we're gonna ask you about a few different subjects. We're not gonna stick to just one thing. We spoke a little bit about this earlier, the Mike Shanahan Donovan McNabb situation. First of all, what are your thoughts on McNabb's performance this season, and what are your thoughts on him being benched with, you know, less than 2 minutes to go in that game?
Well, I covered the game. I was against the Lions. I was here at the game in Detroit, and I don't know. I would not have put Rex Grossman in. I don't think that was the right move, but
right.
I don't think Donovan McNabb has played well at all. I just, the stuff that I've seen and the way he played, if you saw that pick he threw at the end of the game, to me,
yeah,
he blew the game for Washington. He threw a pick into triple coverage in their, you know, down on their end of the field, which set up, which turned the game really for the Lions. It was 3 minutes to go, and the Redskins, had they been able to get a first down or do something with that, probably could have won that football game. And even the win that they had the week before in Chicago, he played terrible. So the problem I have with Shanahan, just be honest. Just say he hasn't played well enough, or I thought he was terrible at the end of the game. And you know what? I know Rex hasn't played, but I just tried to do something different. But I'm just not happy with Donovan's play. When you start talking about conditioning and whether or not somebody's good at the two-minute drill and all that other stuff, you lose credibility. So I think that's the bad part for Shanahan.
Exactly. Well, you answered my second part of the question that I was going to ask you about his attempts at damage control, because I actually had the same thoughts where I actually think he made it worse trying to do damage control, because now you're making Donovan look like, you know, he's lazy, out of shape, and you want to give him all the injury excuses, kind of how Andy Reid used to do in Philadelphia. By the way, you know, you're speaking to five guys from Philly, so we really – didn't think Donovan was as great as everybody makes him out to be in the first place. But I don't know. It seems that he may be proving us right now. So, Paul,
the problem I was going to say, the other thing, too, is is when a team trades you in their own division, it tells you, A, that they don't respect you, and, B, that they don't think you could hurt them. So it says a lot that the Eagles would even think about trading him to Washington. So I think that's how you have to look at it.
Right.
Rob. Yeah, Rob, this is TJ. Another question I have for you pertains to the whole Randy Moss fiasco. Basically, why do you think essentially he was cut, and do you think that Childress made the right decision by doing so?
I think it's a horrible decision. I think it's dumb. I think if you're the Vikings and your season's on the brink, you can't tell me you have more of a chance of making the playoffs without Randy Moss than you do with him. And the other thing is, you know, I just don't – Childress is a terrible coach who's going to get fired at the end of the year. He's done nothing but make mistake after mistake. And the thing I can't get over is you can't marry an alcoholic and then be mad that on the way home he wants to stop by the liquor store, okay? You knew what you were getting with Randy Moss. You knew that's why that organization got rid of him before. So I don't understand that. You know what? Childress can't have thin skin because Randy Moss showed his love for the New England Patriots and then, you know, questioned some of the coaching that he tried to tell them what the Patriots ran. And I guess they ignored him, and then the stuff played out in the game. So I guess if Childress can't accept criticism in that situation, then I guess he would react that way. I just think it's a dumb move.
How much
Yeah, it seems almost that, you know, they're trying to put the whole, like, cutting of Randy Moss on the whole tirade that he did in terms of the food at Friday's practice. But I hear some insiders say that, you know, they think it's more based on his press conference in New England when he essentially...
Of course it is. That stuff about the food, that's just nitpicking. That's that nonsense when you don't have anything real, so you throw something out like that. I mean, to tell me that he didn't like the food and the caterer is the reason he's not on the team would be the most ludicrous and dumbest thing I've ever heard. So I'm not buying that. That's just nitpicking to me to find something to say. See, you can't get along with him in the locker room because he chastised a caterer. I mean, come on. Really?
Yeah, Rob, this is Brad. I'm kind of with you there. I feel as though we're looking at two coaches, one in Shanahan and two in Childress and management behind him that are losing credibility by throwing stupid excuses out there and asking the public to kind of swallow it.
Right.
I agree with that. I just think that it sounds stupid. That's why 80% of the people in Minneapolis and that Star Tribune poll want Childress fired immediately because it doesn't make any sense with what's going on, and now I thought Rice was coming back like ASAP. If you're going to make a move like that, you're going to have somebody for Brett Favre to throw to. Who does he have to throw to? And you know what? You know, he opens up so much stuff for so many people by being out there. And ask Wes Welker all about that now, whose numbers have diminished and fallen off the face of the earth since Randy Moss left. It's just a fact.
Right.
Good point. Good point. Hey, Rob, this is Akil. And going into NBA talk, I have a question about LeBron James. He's having some regrets on how the decision went down recently. Now, will his remorse help to rebuild his image?
I don't know about that. I just think I'm surprised that he still doesn't get it or understand. It's even like the Nike commercial that they made. He's so sensitive and thin-skinned. I've never seen a pro athlete be so sensitive. And, you know, you make decisions, you have to live with them. And if you really believe that Charles Barkley, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Michael Jordan are just picking on you for making that decision and they don't understand you and they don't get it, I just feel sorry for him. All I know is people are disappointed for one reason and one reason only, not because he left Cleveland, not because he didn't call the owner and make some other mistakes. That's not it. They're upset because he had the chance, possibly, to be considered the greatest player of all time. He had a chance, at least. Somebody who came along after Michael Jordan to look at it and say, wow, this guy could be the greatest of all time. But he cashed out early, and instead of trying to win and build his own legacy, to join another guy in Dwayne Wade who's already won a championship. That's what the disappointment is, because people say, well, what if he goes to Miami and wins 5 championships or 6 championships? Wouldn't he be the greatest?
I say, no, because Dwayne Wade already has a championship, so he had seven. So he would be better.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Before Brad, this is Devin, before Brad weighs in, let me tell our listeners, if you want to call in and ask Rob a question real quick, you can give us a call at 323-410-0012.
All right, Brad. Okay. Rob, my question for you, succinctly, we've got a little movement going on for AI, and it's called AI can't get a run. And my question for you is, as I look around the league at the quality of backcourts and guard play, talk to us a little bit about your feelings and opinion on why AI can't get a run when Kevin Ollie is still on the roster.
Well, I understand that, but AI wouldn't accept. AI had to swallow his pride, and if he would have accepted a role off the bench, playing 20-some-odd minutes, coming off and being instant offense, he would have played for a long time because he can do that. He was unwilling, and in every situation he went to, he muddied the water, and that's why people don't want a veteran who's not willing to understand or accept that you're not the same guy you were 15 or 14 years ago. You're not. It's just not the case. And Grant Hill did it. A lot of players have gone to the bench and had very long careers and decided that, okay, I might not be the starter that I once was, but I could be a very vital piece to a team and go and be somewhere. And he never wanted to do that, and that's why he's not in the NBA. And everywhere he went, he just did not. He did it in Detroit. They tried to bring him back to Philly, Charlotte. Just everywhere he went, he caused issues and problems, and that's a shame. I mean, yeah. Well, not Charlotte. The other place he went.
Detroit, Memphis.
Memphis.
He went to Memphis. Yeah.
Right. This is Devin. Do you think that it was too little too late? Because prior to signing this deal to go play in Turkey, he did say that he would take any role that he was given. But do you think that was too little too late?
Yeah, because when he went to Memphis, supposedly, he was going to be a team player. And the first thing he got down there, he started crying that he wasn't starting. I mean, as soon as he got there. And so that's when they knew that wasn't going to work. And once you have a guy like that, you know, and your skills start to diminish, people don't want you around because it's just going to be a headache. And if you're not going to fall in line and be about the team and take your ego out of it, they're not going to use you. And unfortunately, that's where he finds himself.
All right.
Okay, Rob, this is the last host. This is Jimmy. I have a quick question for you. I want to preface the question by saying I grew up a huge baseball fan, loved baseball, had season tickets, but I find myself not even caring anymore. I mean, it's gotten to the point now that during the season, I'd rather watch reruns of Sanford and Son than to watch a baseball game. And my question to you is, is there anything that baseball can do to bring, you know, to try to bring the sport back? Because I hear a lot of people with the same complaints I do, just don't care anymore.
Well, I don't get it because baseball has never been more popular as far as tickets sold. So you might not be going, but 76 million people in this country buy baseball tickets every year.
I've seen the ticket sales, but I'm talking about in terms of, like, their TV. Like, on TV, they don't get the same rating. I mean, they lost to a regular season football game.
Yeah, but you can't always judge that because the only problem with football, and football's distorted as well because there's so few games, and people bet on football. Football's popularity is fueled by gambling. So people need to understand that. And baseball's not a sport you can gamble on the way you do football. But most of football's popularity is gambling. It's the same reason why football went off of broadcast TV with Monday Night Football because they didn't have good ratings. It's the same reason why the commissioner tried to get wrestling Monday Night Raw to move its date because it was getting killed by wrestling on Monday night. And baseball is definitely a better game in person. I love watching it. I'm a Hall of Fame voter. I watch baseball all summer, every night that I can watch baseball, but I'm different. I'm a different cat.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you.
You got to be careful.
I was saying in terms of a live sport, I don't think there's anything like baseball. I've always told everybody that. I said in terms of a live sport, I don't like watching football in person. I love going to the ballpark for a baseball game, but in terms of TV, this doesn't translate the same way that football does.
Yeah, football is just different. I just, like I said, it's easier because it's once a week. Your commitment to the sport is small. So you know in baseball, if I don't watch Monday night's game, there's a game Tuesday night, there's a game Wednesday night, there's a game Thursday night. But if you have only – you're following your team and there's a game on Monday, Sunday, that's the only game you have to worry about all week.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's totally different. When you look at the ratings for baseball, you can't do it on a one baseball game versus one football game. It would be 10 baseball games ratings versus one football game. That's how it, 16 games compared to 162 would have to break out like that.
That's a great point, great point. I have one question based on it. Do you think baseball should shorten their season? Would that do any help?
Yeah, I would like all the sports to shorten their season. Baseball, the NBA should be 60 games. I would like all of them to shorten, to be honest.
Okay, got you.
All right, well, this is Devin again. We had a caller on the line, but it looks like they dropped. So, Rob, we're going to thank you for calling in. We loved it, and we would love to have you back sometime. It was good talking to you, brother.
All right, appreciate it. Yep, you guys, much success, and hopefully you'll have me on again. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
All right.
Appreciate it, Rob. Rapping with Rob.
Talk to everybody. Yeah, that definitely was a great point that he made about
that. Yeah, that was a great point. That was definitely a great point. So with that,
I didn't think about it that
question way.
Yeah,
that's
the game that you were referencing, Jimmy, was it was still a game in the World Series. So,
yeah,
he
definitely made a great point.
Yeah,
he made a great point because the thing about it is that's why I think maybe shortening the season would help a little because. He's right. I mean, if you miss your team play one game, you can just catch like, you know, it's like so 162 games?
100? No, and I see what he's saying because I've done that. Because, y'all know, I have the baseball package. So if I'm doing something, you know, I try to watch as many Phillies games as I can. But like he said, if I miss a game, I'm like, okay, well, it's a four-game series. I'll catch tomorrow's game. Whereas football, when that's on, like, I'm canceling everything. Because like you said, you only get that once a week. So, you know.
And think about the influence of, like he was mentioning, gambling, and then the point that Akil made when you think about fantasy sports. Like, fantasy football is much easier to manage than, say, fantasy baseball because there's, like, 162 games versus those one game a week in football. So,
I played fantasy baseball this year, and I dropped out and was one of the top teams in the league, and I just started to forget to do my lineup.
Right, because you got to
know
every game.
I was reminded like 2 days before the playoffs were starting, and I still forgot to do my lineup. So, yeah, I can definitely get that. I get that, especially with the gambling thing. You're not going to gamble on something that's 162 games because game two of the series, of the regular season series, the team might not even care.
I did read where they were talking about shortening it. The union said they would be okay. Well, they didn't say necessarily. It depended upon compensation. See, the thing is, they don't want their compensation changed based upon the fact that they're playing lesser games. So that's where the snag may be. But they understand that, you know, if they lowered the amount of – what they were talking about doing, from what I read, was lowering the amount of regular season games and adding more postseason teams. And that would help because – to be honest with you, the difference between regular season baseball and postseason baseball is like crazy. Postseason baseball is so much better than regular season baseball. So, you know, baseball does have its strong points. Like, in terms of going to a live game, I'd rather go to a live baseball game. I mean, football to me is horrible in person. I mean,
that's
my personal opinion. It's horrible.
Yep.
Cool. And there
you
have it.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, again, we want to send a shout-out to Robin. Thank him for coming on with us. But right now we want to get into some NFL talk, you know, because the football season is still going on, although we're all hoops heads and we're so excited about basketball season starting. The first thing about football I want to talk about, since Akil is a huge Cowboys fan, I want to talk about how horrible they are, how they got trashed, and Jerry Jones apologizing to the fans. I got to do Akil because my team stinks too, so I'm going to start with you, Akil. How do you feel about your owner apologizing to the fans for, you know, his deplorable team?
Well, I mean, he needs to. I remember in one of my PTRs, I basically went at Jerry Jones and said we'll probably finish 7-9 or 8-8. But I mean, he's the reason we are where we are. He just needs to step back, sign the checks, hire a GM and a strong-minded coach, and not make any decision. For example, when they cut Randy Moss, the owner for the Vikings was upset because the owner had no say and couldn't do anything about it. He left the decision up to the GM and Brad Childress, and I think that's how you build a successful NFL organization.
Cool. Yeah, I noticed that Jerry Jones is like the president and GM. Like, what is his experience in football that allows him to do that other than him owning the team?
That's it.
Hey, he played college football, like at Arkansas, but they said he wasn't that good. That was the
same. Like 90 years ago.
So basically Jerry Jones is playing fantasy football with real people.
Exactly.
All right, well, Dev, what's your opinion on the Cowboys?
I'm going to try to speak from, an objective stance here, because, when the Cowboys, Giants, or Redskins are struggling, I find joy in my heart to see that kind of stuff. But objectively, this is a crazy situation because, there was a lot of talk in the beginning of the season, like the Cowboys have the chance to be the first team to ever play a Super Bowl in their own stadium. They're the best team in the league on paper. But we all know that you don't play football on paper unless you're folding it up into a triangle and you're playing at school on the desk, making the goalposts with your finger. That's the only time football is played on paper. So it's surprising to me that the Cowboys go out week after week and lose these games, because in the Pick'em League, I swear to you guys, I keep picking them because I think, okay, they're not that bad and they're going to win a game eventually. And I'm sitting here losing money picking the Cowboys every week, a team that I don't even like. It's amazing to me that they're actually this bad.
Let me turn Austin's opinion. B. Austin, what's your thoughts on the Cowboys?
As I look at the Cowboys, we can go layer by layer. I could take an hour and talk about their issues, but I'm not. First and foremost, you got to look at Jerry Jones and the way he structured his managerial hierarchy and coaching staff, and it trickles down to the players. Since he puts himself out there as the leader of the squad, the head cowboy, well, then, you got to take some of that blame, if not all of it. Second, I would say their issue is coaching and game management. If you notice the way they play, their play calling is very limited for the amount of talent that they have on the offensive side of the ball. They run draws as if they don't have superior running backs. They run a lot of draw plays. They run a lot of pitches, counting on their guards to get out ahead and block because they don't believe their tailbacks can make somebody miss in space. And then lastly, it comes down to the players themselves, because no matter how much pointing of the finger we do as fans and outsiders at Jerry Jones, at Wade Phillips, at Garrett, the players have to take it upon themselves to really make it happen, and they're very, 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 very undisciplined. There's a lot of penalties called against them, a lot of drop passes, a lot of me first from their receiving core. Defensively, secondary, they're inferior. They need help bad.
Yo, you brought up a great point. Let me get PJ's thoughts before I, give you my opinion on what you just said. But PJ, what's your thoughts on the Cowboys?
Carly, we're going to get to you.
What's your thoughts on the Cowboys, real fast?
Real quick, is basically they won one of my awards that we'll get to later. But to me, I just look at it, even taking Jerry Jones out of the picture just for a minute. If you look at their team, they have no leadership. They have a coach, and it starts with the coach on that level of the team, of the players and what goes on the field. And he just is a mindless person to me. He just looks like he never understands what's going on. They need somebody, even if it's a player, to call a players-only meeting, get in somebody's face, say, yo, all the craziness that's going on, all these penalties, how we beat ourselves, that the best They're the worst. They're like the best bad team in NFL history is what I'm trying to say. Like they have very good talent. Not great, but they have good talent in a lot of positions. But they're a bad team. Like they have no leadership. They have no direction. They need somebody. They need somebody to come in and blow that up. Like,
gotcha.
Just from an attitude and just give people good type of.
Real quick, let me get to this call. But Brad, you said something about their offensive coordinator and their horrible play calling. It looks like he missed his shot because he was touted as being the next up and coming genius in the league, and doesn't look that way anymore. But let me take this call real quick. 813-298. You're in the war room. What's your name and where you're calling from?
What's up, y'all? This Will, man.
What up, Will?
What's up, Will?
Is this Will, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan?
Exactly.
Yo, I knew Will
okay.
was going to call in when we started
What's
talking
up,
about the Cowboys because this is the biggest Cowboy hater I've ever met in my life.
We love him for it. Will, let him have it. Let him know what time it is.
Will was at the game last week.
Go ahead, Will. What you got?
Jaguars game last week. This is my concern. Why is this even a story? The Cowboys won their first playoff game in 14 years last year. They haven't won a Super Bowl in 15 years. When will people just realize that the Cowboys are just an average NFL team?
Below average.
They're America's team, baby.
who put that label on them? America didn't.
They did. You know people like to self-proclaim. But no,
there's
I have
a gentleman in there.
I have a point that kind of goes with what Brad and PJ was talking about. When Brad was talking about the hierarchy of the team, that's a Jerry Jones thing because he wants a yes man in place. That's why Wade Phillips still has a job right now. Jimmy Jones comes in, you know, wins a couple Super Bowls, but
come on, Jimmy Johnson,
but you know he put his stamp on that team. It's his team. He makes the decisions. He didn't like that. He wanted to take more of the credit, so he gets rid of him. He brings in some years later Bill Parcells, who wants all of the control. He doesn't like that either. Like he doesn't like when his hand isn't deep enough into the pot. So he brings in guys like
Barry Switzer.
Phillips. He brings in guys like Switzer and Phillips
Dave Campo.
And Chan Gailey and Dave Campo because he wants
Campo.
Yes men. And when he realizes that they don't work, he brings in the good guy to build the team back up and then gets rid of him and brings a yes man back in to try to finish the job, and it just doesn't work. It's not going to work that way.
Yeah.
So, Will,
hey, Willie,
why
we got, Willie,
point,
why
Will?
We got you on the line, Willie? We want to talk to you about your Buccaneers, man. Are y'all the best team in the NFC like your coach says?
Yes, sir.
Oh, God.
You don't believe that. You don't believe that. You don't really don't believe that, do you?
I believe it. I believe that. Stats are for losers, just like you said. We get the job done. We everything by 1 point. We still 5-2. Got the same record as the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's considered the best team in NFL right now. You know what I'm saying? So, if you look around the NFL at the top teams in the NFL, and everybody's really shaky right this year. There's really no dominant team this year.
I respect the fact that you stick with the Buccaneers, yo, because I guess it's hard to be a Buccaneers fan, but, you know, that's your team, and you stick
not
with
really,
it, though.
Not really. I mean, you know, I really thank the Eagles for giving us our Super Bowl, you know.
You thank Donovan McMahon for giving y'all your Super Bowl. That's a good – oh, I hear you, Will. Yo, the boy Raheem that coached for y'all, he remind me of somebody that I would smoke a little reefer with. To be honest with you.
Hey, Will, we got to move on and get to our midseason award. So thanks for your call. We're going to check back with you, though, in a few weeks to see if your Bucks still on top. I'm actually rooting for you. So we check back with you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Will. Thanks for calling in, Will.
Hey, Dev, let me take this over, Dev. We do have
got another one on there.
Caller on the line. Yeah, you want to take this real quick? Let's take this call real quick. I got it. 301-442. You're in the war room. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, this is Terrence Russin calling from Bowie, Maryland.
T, what's up?
What's up, Terrence?
Hey, what's up, Dev? Kill, Brad.
You got another Cowboys fan. You probably call him to get on y'all for getting on his Cowboys, man.
What's up, Terry?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's up? Just listening to the show and y'all talking about the boys, so I said I would call in. I think I made the problem as leadership. Bev has known me for years, and I've always said Jerry Jones is running the team into the ground. I mean, Jerry Jones is a businessman. He's about making money. He's a great businessman, but he doesn't know football, and it just trickles down from the top. I mean, we have people who – we have no leadership on the team. I mean, we have good players, but you have no leaders. We have no Ray Lewis on the defense. DeMarcus Ware is a great player, but he's not Ray Lewis. You know, he's not going to get people in line and get them to do what they need to do. Offense, Tony Romo, he's not a leader. To me, Romo is a choke artist. I mean, name one big game he stepped up in, you know, and performed for us. He does great during the regular season, but when it's time to perform, he shuts down. So I just think we have a leadership issue, and I think we were going 7-9 this year. We might go 4-12 if we're lucky. I don't know. But I just wanted to call and give y'all my comments. But
all right, T,
hopefully
thanks,
we'll
man.
Be back
appreciate
one day.
Thanks, big right, dude. Appreciate you calling, man.
All right,
yeah, see, those are the kind of like Akil and T, those are the kind of Cowboy fans that you don't find that often, people who are actually objective and, you know, can tell it like it is instead of just being the ultimate homer. But go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's a guy in the chat room right now who just keeps putting up that the Cowboys are America's team. So he doesn't care about nothing else but the fact that the Cowboys are America's team. And he said that the Buccaneers are America's
team. You're not seeing me all blue, all red, every day. I'm Billy Tyson.
All right, let me take over real quick. I want to get you guys' opinion on a couple of different things since the midseason. I want to know right now, who's your MVP, offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, coach of the year, the Golden Toe Award, Paul, is for the best kicker. The comeback player of the year and the most surprising team and the most disappointing team. How about I'll go around and ask each person, you know, their picks. But let me give mine real fast, and then I'll go around the roundtable and get it.
Well, Jim, let's do them one at a time. Let's go MVP and then go to everybody.
Okay, well, yeah. Let me give you mine real fast. I'll give you my MVP right now is Troy Polamalu. So, Dez, what's your MVP?
Troy Polamalu, that's a pretty good pick. MVP right now, I'm going to have to go with Peyton Manning. He's having, you know, people go down and things happen, and he's keeping the ship afloat. So I'm going to go Peyton Manning with the MVP so far.
Yeah, I think he was throwing at Brad last week. Hey, Brad, who's your MVP right now?
If you watch the game of football with a student's eye, there's no possible way that you can pick any other MVP, most valuable player, then Peyton, the son of Archie Manning.
P. Jizzy?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I got Peyton jotted down here. I mean, he's throwing the plumbers, exterminators, and Subway shoe shiners. And, I mean, this boy, the dude is averaging 300 yards a game, 15 TDs to 2 interceptions.
His starting receiver.
He's on pace for over 4,000 yards. So, I mean, I don't know how you can right now.
His starting receivers are a dude that played in D3 and somebody that just walked on the team and said, you know, my name's Austin Colley, I'd like to play football.
Yeah.
Yo, but I'm going to tell y'all why.
Anybody
who
can play push-ups can get a run with Peyton.
I chose Troy because, first off, I knew everybody was going to go Manning. But second off, because I watched him play, and this dude means so much to his team, for one, and for two, they straight played the beginning of the season without a quarterback at all.
I can feel you because dude is like the quarterback of the team and he don't take snaps.
I was gonna get. I'm gonna get to him.
He don't even talk.
So
I don't know if Kill's around, so he can chime in if he wants to. But you can go ahead and move on to the next category.
Okay, the next one is the offensive player of the year. My pick would be one Mr. Thomas Brady. Dev, of course, if you go Peyton Manning MVP, how can you not go Tom Brady? I mean, you know, how can
yeah,
you not
that's
go
the same
him?
Thing. I actually, but yeah. I had somebody else in consideration that wasn't Tom Brady or somebody like that. It might be a surprise to everybody, but if you've been watching, see, their record isn't that good, but who I'm talking about is a tight end. Antonio Gates is having a hell of a season. Yo, he's having a hell of a season. And I believe he leads the league in touchdown receptions so far this year. But
yeah,
with your dad, like you said, I'm going to have to go Peyton Manning.
It's funny. It's funny you say that, Dev, because Antonio Gates was my runner-up.
Oh, word.
Yo, yo, I'm not like trying to sound corny. I swear to y'all, I'll fax y'all the paper. I got him jotted down right here. Right,
yeah.
Dev, he got
well,
90.
Let's let the audience know. We don't, like, when we do these kind of things,
we
do our greatest ever, and we do this kind of stuff, we don't share our answers with each other. We wait till we get on the air. So, you know, if
well,
we can
one
live, sessions, live with it.
This is Jimmy, and I don't have Antonio Gates written down at all. I got Thomas Brady because just like Peyton, you know, he doesn't have Randy at this point. This dude is throwing to him. He has a Latino tight end that's like killing everybody. He's got a Woodhead Paul who's out there putting out work. Tom Brady has won Super Bowls with trash truck men. Yo, Tom Brady is that dude, Paul. You know, so that's who my offensive player of the year is. So let's move on to the defensive player of the year so far.
Whoa. Let me say my offensive player of the year, brother.
We already know what
you're
gonna say. You wanna say Peyton, huh?
Peyton Manning, because from week to week he just picks cats out of the stands. Yo, you wanna come run? Like it's a pickup basketball game, brother. You want
to
come run?
Yo, Brad, he comes up to the line of scrimmage and basically calls the play once he sees what the defense is running. And he walks to each player and whispers in their helmet the play they're running in the snap count.
Yo,
what's wrong with
Peyton, Peyton Manning can also close the revolving door. You know, Peyton Manning's like Chuck Norris now. Anyway, let's move on to
it
the defensive player of the year. Once again, it's Troy, for me, of course. Dev, what you got?
All right, for me, I actually had three people in mind. I had to narrow it down. Two of them, the people who didn't win, are actually Washington Redskins. And, you know, I don't even care for these dudes that much, but D'Angelo Hall, with his numbers, because he's not a great cover guy, but with his numbers this year,
Damn.
I have to consider him.
Yeah.
But even better than him right now is LaRon Landry. He's balling out of control right now. But my defensive player of the year midseason is one Clay Matthews. And
yo,
when if you want to ask me why, see how their defense goes when he misses games. Go ahead. Who's next?
My, hey, yo, can I just
first
go next?
Clay
I don't
Matthews
mean to jump, but
go ahead.
And, yeah, I don't mean to jump in front, Brad. But yo, I don't know if me and Dev like had to, like I don't know what the hell. We must have ate the same thing yesterday for dinner. Pause. But I got Clay Matthews too as my defensive MVP. I mean, dude has missed a game and he leads the league with 9.5 sacks. And like you said, he's a game changer. Like the motor that dude plays with, it has, is crazy. Like, you know, I don't know. To me right now, he's like Dev said, when you see the Packers without him, it's a whole different defense.
And
you know, he's somebody that has to be accounted for on every snap. Like, my fault, Brad. I didn't mean to jump in there.
We got two people in the chat room who agree. Mopes 215 and Iran Mercier says that Clay Matthews will get their votes, and he's
a
great
player. Who you got?
My two runner ups are kind of cliche. Patrick Willis, because he's in on every single play in the NFL on Sunday, whether it's a Niners player or not. Ray Lewis, because he's Ray Lewis and he's my uncle, and I definitely have to go with Troy Polamalu. And I'm going to tell you why. As you alluded to earlier, there's no defensive player except for Ray Lewis who has the impact that Troy has on the entire team. It's like Ben Roethlisberger is an afterthought on that squad. It's like the dude with the long hair is it. He plays in the box down near the line of scrimmage. He plays 25 yards back, covering passes.
Exactly.
And his anticipation comes from two things. Number one, he studies film. I watch the way he plays. He has to gobble up film, pause, like none other, because he comes into a game and he knows the plays that are being run, and he's able to take gambles that only somebody who studies countless hours of film can take. And then the last thing is just intuition, dude. Yo, he and Ed Reed are in places that just it's uncanny. It's unbelievable how you can always be in the right place.
The ball can line up in the box. Yo, he can line up in the box and catch an interception 30 yards down the field.
Real quick, in our chat room, Deb Jr. 21 said that Troy uses head and shoulders though. But with that being said, like I said, I also have Troy because that one play against the Titans, just because of that, he should win the Defensive Player of the Year based on that one play.
Yeah.
Let's move on pretty fast. We're running out of time. Let's move on fast.
Just give me
a name for your kicker. My kicker is Dan Carpenter of the Miami Dolphins. I hate even looking at a kicker, but Dev, who's your kicker?
Man, kickers, I don't study kickers. I had to go to the fantasy for this. I'm going to go with Rob Baronis, 15 for 16 field goals. His long of 55 yards, he's 23 of 23 extra points. Baronis.
Okay, PJ, your kicker?
Josh Scobie, 7 for 7 field goals between 40 and 49 yards. He's 13 for 13 on the season. He's tied for the longest field goal of the season with 59 yards.
Okay, B. Austin.
Alindo Mari. Morton Anderson and David Akers.
We talking about 2010, Chad. Anyway, let's move on. We don't want to talk about no kicker. Coach of the year. My coach of the year is Raheem Morris because not only has his team drank the Kool-Aid, the fans have drank the Kool-Aid. Like Willie Garland called in talking about how great the team is. The fans also believe, and also Raheem Morris looks like a cool dude. So, Dev, who you got as coach of the year?
I got Morris on my list. I got him and somebody I don't really care for, Bill Belichick. He's doing a great job this year because, you know, he's getting rid of dudes like he usually does. He's playing with less talent than he's had in a long time. I'm going to go with Bill Belichick.
Okay. B. Austin.
I'm going with Brad Childress.
Yo.
His name is Brad. First of all, his name is Brad. So right there, he's ahead of the game. But we're going to disqualify him because, you know, I'm biased.
Because he stinks.
I'm going to go either the brother in Pittsburgh or Belichick. I'm going to say there's a tie right now midseason between those two.
Okay. PJ, who's your coach?
Yeah, unfortunately, not unfortunately, but, like, not to be on the same boat, but I got Belichick. I mean, they're the only 6-1 team. Like you said earlier,
yeah.
Jim, he,
yeah.
Besides Tom Brady, ain't no other stars on the squad. He got Gonzalez
at tight
end.
I agree with that.
Only reason I say Morris, Jimmy, only reason I don't say Raheem, because I still don't believe that.
I don't believe in the Bucks.
They need more.
Real quick, I don't believe in the Bucs either, but, yo, they're a young team, and they're winning. And like Bill Parcells said, you are what your record says you are, and these dudes are winning. And with that being said, I was going to take Todd Haley because he's done a good job too, but at the same time, Raheem Morris just looks cooler than Todd Haley. Real quick, comeback player of the year.
Exactly. That's what I feel about the Bucs.
Yo, real quick, let's move fast. It's real quick, the comeback player of the year, I have one Michael Vick because who else could you pick? I mean, not because of, I mean, this man was in prison, so, you know, that's what it is. Dev, who's your comeback player of the year?
Are we swinging back around the offensive and defensive rookies? I'm just making sure. We can do that after.
No, I'm going to swing back there.
I'm making sure you ain't forget him. Comeback player of the year, I didn't have Michael Vick, actually, because, you know, he came back last year. But, usually in this category, you think injury or somebody who was out. So the two people I had on this list was T.O. and LeRon Landry. I'm going to go LeRon Landry because they picked on him last year. He couldn't cover. He was a bum last year. And like I said earlier, this year he's playing out his mind. I'm going to go with LeRon Landry from the Redskins.
Okay. B. Austin, who you got?
I went the conventional route with you, and I sided with the brother Mike Vick. Because last year was just, you know, they were just getting him in shape. They spent that money to get him in shape, and now he's a legitimate $30 million contract signing quarterback, even if it's
right,
not
last
with
year,
us.
Last year they were just
working him out on the monkey bars.
Yeah, they were just giving him monkey. They were just giving him monkey food and bananas. This year,
get his drink.
This year, I really believe. And again, you know, as Philly fans, with the exception of Jimmy and Kill, I don't think we want him on the roster. I'd rather go with Cobb, but what he's doing is impressive, and I definitely wish him the best, and I hope that somebody comes along and offers him a lot of money because I think he's worth it.
Okay, real quick, PJ, who's your comeback player of the year?
Real quick, now see, I don't know if I picked this right because when I looked at it, I picked LT. Now, he wasn't hurt, But I just say come back in the sense that he's kind of
rejuvenated.
No, that's
a good pick. Actually, it's funny you say that.
Okay, because I'm like, I mean,
the same time you
he only played seven games. And, I mean, he's on pace for 1,000 yards rushing. He has 5 TDs. He's on pace for 50 receptions. So, I mean, if you look at him play, and he's averaging 5 yards a carry, too. So, I mean, if you look at him play, he just looks rejuvenated. He looks like he still has his vision. He's quick, his strength, explosion. His cuts look good and sharp and crisp. Pause on all that. But, you know, that's why I went with LT, man. And I'm inspired by LT.
Okay, okay, real quick.
That's a great pick because, you know, when they write you off and you ball the next year, that's comeback. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, because.
Yeah, real quick, your rookies of the year, both offense and defense. Just give me your names, Dev.
Offensive, it was between Dez Bryant and Bradford Bryant because, you know, he just big boys cornerbacks and he's good on the kick return. But I'm going to go with Sam Bradford. He looks a little he looks mature. He looks mature over there in St. Louis.
Yeah. Who's your defensive rookie here?
Oh, I'm going with the ball. McCourty is on my list, the D-back, but Ndamukong Suh, man. He's a
don't even, yeah, you got to.
Yeah,
yo,
real quick,
my two are the same exact as yours. How could they not be? Bradford, because, like, yo, who's he throwing to? Speaking of Brady and Manning, who is Sam Bradford throwing to?
His top, we're all in agreement. His top three receivers who were nobodies to begin with, Donnie Avery was their number one. All three of them are injured and out. He's picking fans out of the stands. And winning.
Gibson couldn't make the Eagles team, and you know, we're always supposed to have these bad receivers. He throws to Gibson a lot, and he was on the Eagles practice squad.
Yeah. And in terms of defense, I got the same player as you. Like, yo, Ndamukong Suh is so – yo, dude is like the best defensive lineman in the league.
Yo, people are already afraid of that dude. Like, I haven't seen an interior lineman that puts that much pressure on the quarterback, Paul Sint, Warren Sapp, and John Randall. Like,
yo,
dudes
have
are
you heard
afraid
of him. Have you heard
and
of
he's
him?
And he's articulate.
Brown,
like, he's a monster on the field, and then when he speaks, he's all, like, soft-spoken
yo,
and proper. And
he's
yo,
articulate. So I already, you know, I love an articulate thug, Pauls.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, PJ, who's your two?
I got Bradford. He on pace for 3,000 yards. He got 11 TDs. The Rams are 4-4. He's throwing to me. I mean, he's playing the hardest position to learn in the NFL coming in as a rookie. So how do you not? And you know, how can you not go with Ndamukong Suh, 27 sacks,
yo,
and
like,
half sacks.
Like,
he has a, come on, man.
He
like Jerome Brown, man. Bring it home for Jerome. Rest in peace, baby.
Yeah, all right, Jerome Brown. All right. Real quick, this is the one I want to get into so we can end this real quick. Dev, who's your surprising team of the year? Just give me a name.
My surprising team, it's between Kansas City and Tampa Bay. Willie, I gave you Tampa Bay some love, but I'm going to go with Kansas City.
Okay. Has to be
I
one of those
Tampa
two.
Bay to be better
B. Austin,
than Kansas.
B. Austin, which one?
Well, man, we like too much. I'm a change mine because Dev said that. Mine was going to be Tampa Bay or Kansas City. So I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm surprised with the Rams. They got a rookie quarterback. They have four injured receivers. And their defense is essentially the same in terms of personnel as it was last year, and yet they're balling now. And they have a chance legitimately to make the playoffs. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
Okay. PJ, who'd you guys surprise the team?
Nah, I mean, sounding like, again, I got the Chiefs. I mean, they're 5-2, top of the AFC West. Who thought that? They lead the league in rushing.
I got to shout out the Chiefs because the Chiefs straight wins games. They win games with special teams. Like, yo, that's like old school. They straight win games on special teams, so got to give them love.
Exactly.
Most disappointing team.
Jimmy, here you go. Here you go. This is Kill. I'm about to I'm going to run down mine real quick. Here we go. MVP, Peyton Manning. Offensive player of the year, Peyton Manning. Defensive player of the year,
Peyton
Manning. Defensive player of the year, OCU Manure, because he has 8 sacks, 7 forced fumbles, and helped the Giants put out 5 quarterbacks this year. I wasn't going to play Matthews, but I went with OC. Now, the offensive rookie of the year, Sam Bradford, he's going to a guy named Danny Amendola, who's on the Cowboys practice squad and got cut last year.
Then my defensive rookie of the year, Ndamukong Suh, 27 tackles, 6.5 sacks, a fumble recovery for a touchdown, and an interception, playing as a 4-3 single gap D tackle. Coach of the year, co-coach of the year with Raheem Morris of Tampa Bay and Todd Haley, because they're getting it done with young people. Todd Haley had two rookies win NFL Rookie of the Week, and he has a third rookie this year, I believe Eric Berry, up for the candidacy for Rookie of the Week. And Golden Toe Award, Josh Scobie, Josh Scobie from the Jags, 59-yarder, like PJ said, and 100% 13 for 13, comeback player of the year, Michael Vick, and obviously my most disappointing team is the Dallas Cowboys, and most surprising team, Kansas City Chiefs.
And there you have it.
Okay, wait to run it down. Wait to run it down. Let me get everybody else.
Nice rundown, Kill.
Let me get everybody else a disappointing team. Andre White in the chat room says a disappointing team is the New York Jets offense. But
Mine is between Dallas and Cincinnati. I would say Dallas, but I'm not disappointed. So even though they're the most, you know, in the essence of the category, they're the most disappointing team, I'm gonna go with Cincinnati because I'm not disappointed in Dallas.
I knew everybody was gonna say Dallas. That's like the obvious pick. But mine is actually the 49ers, and I'm gonna tell you why I'm disappointed. Because I really believe coming into this season that they were gonna be a team that was ready to take the next step when I look at the division
Jimmy, we know
George
we got it on tape. We got it on tape.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of us picked them out of the West.
We could play
that. They are fast truck juice, and their quarterback is a Ramon. So with that being said,
Alex Smith is horrible.
Are y'all aware that Troy Smith is now their starting quarterback?
I mean, he
not
got
now.
His job because Alex Smith got injured. So if he plays well again, then he may keep it. But, you know, we're just going
Alex
on with they've been working with.
Before he got injured. Cowboys, just like Dev said, I'm not disappointed, but I was expecting them to give us a better run in the NFC East. But I'm happy, you know, that they're not doing well. But you know,
DJ, I was actually nervous with all the people saying that they're going to play the Super Bowl in their own stadium. I was actually nervous that it may happen. And
they
now
got
I'm
stadium right. When they own
I'm going to step out there and say that the Cowboys have made me the most happy. I'm very excited with what they're doing down in Dallas, the effort that they're putting forward, the things that they've accomplished this year. I mean, how can you not be pleased as an Eagles fan with what they're doing in Dallas? My most disappointing team is the Minnesota Vikings, because as you know, I'm both an Adrian Peterson fan, Paul's and a Brett Favre fan, so I'm a little disappointed in what's going on up there. I actually think the Niners may end up 7-9 because I believe in the boy Troy Smith based on his interview that he had with Jamarcus Russell, and he played him out on national TV. He's obviously a little bit more intelligent than most monkeys at QB. And then lastly, I would have voted for Peyton Manning as Defensive Player of the Year if y'all would have allowed me. And here's why I say that. Peyton Manning puts up so many points that the weakness on their defense in Indianapolis is no longer exposed. You can't run against them when they're up 14 points. So he's actually their best defensive player.
Yo, you are tripping.
No, but seriously, we laugh, but he puts them in a position if they're up, then the strength of their defense, like he said, is their pass rush. So those little guys on the line can actually tee off and rush the passer all day. If the game is even or if they're behind, they're going to get bludgeoned in the rushing game. And, you know, we saw Arian Foster and a couple other people do that to them. They're garbage when they're at pace with you or if they're behind. But if they get to just tee off and let those
guys I want to say one thing. Speaking of how the Vikings are disappointing, the Vikings are what they are because their quarterback – is an old bum. I would rather have Willie Beeman at quarterback than Brett Favre. Brett Favre should go home. He stinks. He's playing with broken feet, a broken jaw. His game has been broken for 20 years. He's a fraud, a phony, and he's trash truck juice.
Jimmy, you, sir, are a racist.
Yo, I don't care if Brett Favre was green. He is a bum. Yo, he's leading his team into a bitter race. Yo, this dude is fraudulent. Have you been watching him play?
It's Childress's fault.
Okay.
I know.
That was Jimmy's midseason rant. My midseason rant is to Washington Redskins fans, and I only got a few words for you. I told you so.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm most happy about the Redskins' demise because they got that thinking short arm.
You have Donovan McNabb.
Hey, but TJ, actually, they're not that upset down here because they've already reached their win total from last year. So they're going to be better than last year because they're not going to lose out. But when they picked up the guy, they thought that it was gravy. Like, they were going to challenge Dallas to play, you know, in Cowboys Stadium for that Super Bowl. All I got to say, like I just said, I told you so.
Donovan McNabb is a disgrace.
People down in D.C., are they blaming Shanahan for, like, do they see how bad Donovan played, or are they, and are
oh,
they,
no.
like...
Oh, no, they've already turned on Shanahan. Yo, dude has a pass with everybody in the
I knew it, yo.
He has a pass.
Why?
They turned on Shanahan already. Like, they don't
dumb
see...
dumb decision that Shanahan made, I get that, but do they see how bad Donovan was playing? Not that
no,
he should have been
around
the last it. 2 minutes, but... Donovan is a... He's a bum, man. I'm convinced he's a bum. Did you hear what they were talking about, how bad he's playing in practice? Like, the Shanahan family is just upset with him. Even Shanahan's wife and his daughter's upset with McNabb because he can't throw accurate passes.
Yeah, Andre White in the chat room, he must be a Redskins fan. He said, yes, we are blaming Shanahan. he said he's a racist and doesn't even wear black shoes.
wide open.
Before we go, I have some breaking news from George Washington University. Earlier this year, they changed their website. It was concerning a player on the school's women's basketball team named KK Alums from D.C.
I heard about that. She changed, right?
She changed her name, and she is the – this person is the first male or transgender player to play Division I women's basketball. And he's a man – but he wasn't born a man, but he plays women's basketball.
That thing got double jumped.
Well, we went out of time, but I want to say one thing about that, Brad. We already have one in the NBA. His name is Shaquille Rashawn O'Neal. So that person is late to the party because Shaq is a woman now. So Shaq, you know, has already broken barriers for the transgender gay and lesbian folks out there. Shaq's your hero.
You forgot about Christina Bosch.
Christina Bosch too. Yeah,
and you forgot about Ramon James. He's come out of the closet.
All right, Jim.
we went out of time, yo. We gotta get out of here. So we want to thank everybody for joining us in the war room this evening. We hope you all enjoyed tonight's show. We definitely enjoyed doing it for you, Paul. A special thanks to tonight's guest, Mr. Rob Parker of ESPN's First Take. Don't forget to check out his column on ESPNNewYork.com. Please join us next week in the War Room, same time, same place. We'll discuss the results of Week 9 of the NFL season and look ahead to Week 10. We'll again check in on the early progress of NBA season and once again break out our favorite segment. Yep, you guessed it, best ever. This time we'll be talking about the greatest basketball movies of all time. And we'll even talk a little boxing leading up to the November 13th bout between Pac-Man Pacquiao and Antonio Margarito, most importantly, and as usual, we'll get you caught up in all the biggest stories in the week of sports. Make sure you're here with us to share every favorite basketball movies and enjoy your weekend. Till next week, everybody, couple things. Why can't AI get a run? And we will holler.
Holler.